The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
More freedom, more options, fewer taxes. These are a few of the many reasons that you might become a global citizen. Now, global citizenship is the perfect path for those who are looking to become an entrepreneur, seeking a lifestyle involving a lot of travel, and to be in control of their finances while minimizing their taxes. Andrew Henderson is a successful global citizen. He's CEO and founder of Nomad Capitalist, and he's with me now. Andrew, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you.
So what is a global citizen?
Global citizen is someone who understands what's happening in the world. Perhaps they have homes, they spend time around the world. I like to call it a nomad capitalist. What do we talk about? We're financially diversified, have accounts in different places, investments in different places. Our business is incorporated somewhere. We're basically picking and choosing what's the best each place has to offer, rather than having all of our eggs in one basket.
Now, in this country, if you're out of the country for a certain number of days, you are not tax resident here. So I presume that's the kind of calculation you make about various territories around the world.
Right. So if you're living in Ireland, for example, or you're living in any country, how do I not be a tax resident there? How do I find a place where I would like to be a tax resident? So in Europe, you've got Malta, you've got Cyprus to a lesser extent, Spain and Greece and Italy all have certain kind of programs where you can pay less. You can move to places like Dubai and pay close to zero, although they raise the corporate tax. You can live where I have a winter home in Malaysia. You could be very low tax there. So there's about 31 different countries we've helped our clients move to around the world that all are somewhere from 0 to 10% for the average person.
Now, what kind of money do they have to be making to make all of this worthwhile? Because it's all very well to have a home here and a home there, but you've got to have the capital to get those homes in the first place.
I have a number of properties in other places, and I'll tell you what I would have here would be more than all of those combined. So certainly you can save up, but you can do that. I think anyone who has the ability to work remotely can take advantage of this. Got one of our guys from Ireland. He's in Malaysia this month. He says it's 60% less expensive. He could live there and practically cut his tax bill to zero. The weather's warm all year round. Very, very friendly people. And so, you know, if you have a remote job, that's a place where I think with $2,000 US a month, you can get a digital nomad visa. You can move there. Friendly taxes, friendly weather, friendly people. Cut your cost of living dramatically.
Now, what is the attitude of the tax authorities to that kind of thing? I mean, if you're doing a job where you're remote, but you're remote from a Dublin office, for example.
Sure.
When they send the check to Malaysia, is that only subject to Malaysian tax or does...
Yeah, I mean, here in the EU, it depends on how some of the companies are structured. Certainly, you know, where the job is could be an issue. I know a lot of international companies have, hey, can you put me in this office where it's more friendly?
And now, the passport you carry, you have given back your U.S. passport. You're no longer a U.S. citizen. Why?
There's a lot of personal reasons. I didn't want to live in the United States. I left for many years. I didn't go back to the United States. I think that geopolitically, having a U.S. passport is going to be tough, as you see a more multipolar world coming about. And I guess the cherry on top is you have a much better situation in terms of forms to file, because the U.S. is the one place where, even if you don't live there, forget paying. I legally paid zero for all the years I was outside of the United States almost. But so many forms to file, so much fear of making
mistakes. Uncle Sam chases you everywhere.
They chase you everywhere. So that's the one disadvantage. I think you're going to see other countries, not Ireland probably, but I think you'll see other Western countries try and follow that model and chase their citizens.
Yeah. Now, you paid no taxes because of other dual tax arrangements. You're paying in one territory, and that is a credit against your Uncle Sam tax, that kind of thing?
So the U.S. has what's called the foreign earned income exclusion, and so basically by having less control over your money, you can take some of the money out yourself, you leave the rest in a business, the business is zero tax. My lifestyle for many years was living in many places. I spent no more than 3 or 4 months in any place, and so in a European country, if 4 months is the most you spend in a country, they might drag you into the tax debt.
Sure that your living costs are so low that you'd qualify for all the tax breaks that America would offer and therefore pay no tax.
Living overseas as a U.S. citizen, right? You take out a certain amount of money as a salary, you keep the rest in your business, the business isn't taxed, and so I was able to live essentially tax-free. Now, obviously, if I wanted to live in Ireland 8 months a year, that wouldn't be the case, and I would pay whatever I'm required to pay. But the lifestyle back then was live in different places.
Now, you mentioned that the American passport can be a hindrance in some parts of the world.
Yeah.
So what is the best passport to have?
Well, we put out the Nomad Passport Index. I mean, some of the European passports, Ireland's right up there, Switzerland's right up there. Those are some of the best because you have that great visa-free travel. You have that great respectability. I think we ranked the U.S. as the 44th best passport because you have the tax hindrance around you because they follow you everywhere. No other country does that to that level. So we've said, you know, the UAE is kind of one of the big standout passports. You do see passports in Eastern Europe like Serbia that are getting stronger. But, you know, Ireland's right up there in one of the top. Switzerland's one of the top because you get great services while you're there. You're respected around the world. Your embassy helps you when you overseas. The U.S. embassies sometimes get in your way. Like in Malaysia, for example, it's hard to get paperwork from the U.S. embassy to get your residence permit. They kind of actively slow that down. Whereas if you're a citizen of Ireland or Georgia, we have a lot of people, the embassy gets you what you need in one day. So that's an issue. I just think that going forward, a lot of countries are turning against the U.S. You see a lot of emerging countries saying, we want to be part of a different system. And I think being an American is going to make it harder to do business globally.
Now, the virtue, of course, for yourself and all Americans and indeed Irish people is that we speak English.
Yeah.
Is English truly the global language? No matter where you go, if you're on the streets of Moscow, you'll find a good smattering of people who have English. If you're on the streets of Malaysia, you'll find the same. If you're in Japan, you'll find the same.
In Moscow and Japan, no, I don't think you would. In Malaysia, I mean, former British colony, English is pretty widely spoken, maybe not to the same level that we're speaking, but it's pretty functional. There are places that would surprise you. I think Serbia was almost at the level of the Netherlands in terms of English speaking. You know, you get in a taxi, they'll speak it. So there's pockets. You know, Malaysia, I think, being one of the best. Singapore, obviously, you know, very good. But yeah, I mean, if you go to South America, I was just in Colombia, for example, you know, they have a language that's widely spoken around the world. And so they pretty much expect you to speak Spanish. So it's finding those pockets, whether it's here in Europe or Malaysia or what have you.
You know, when you live in these places, the living is possibly very different. There are different social mores, different things to learn, different diets. And, you know, do you drag a partner in life around with you on your nomadic journeys?
Yeah, I think you can. I just met a guy who's a friend of mine. He has 5 kids from, I think, 1 to 13. They travel around the world. They follow what's my trifecta method. They spend 4 months a year in 3 different places, and they don't own homes in those places. And so I think you can do it with even a family.
So who would be welcome to consult with you at Nomad? What sort of high roller or low roller would you be interested in dealing with?
We primarily work with people who are, you know, who have, you know, $1 million net worths and up, or have $500,000 incomes. But, you know, we've got 2,600 YouTube videos explaining this stuff. People can just watch it for free. We have an annual event, Nomad Complex Live, people can come to no matter what they're earning, and they can network and learn about this stuff. But, you know, for me, even if you're not at that level, just the cost savings and the tax savings of a country, again, like in Malaysia, it's going to pay for itself pretty quickly.
Okay, so think outside the box. If you're, you know, thinking that you're footloose, fancy-free, Ireland in this particular spring is not the most pleasant place to live. There are other options. That's your message.
That's the message. Go where you're treated best.
Andrew Henderson, CEO and founder of Nomad Capitalist. Thank you very much for...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.